Okay, so let's pretend. Hey, Judith, let's pretend that we can hear the theme tune. Do you remember? So let's clap along. We haven't done that for ages.
Yay!
And anyway, applause, Judith, applause, because guess what's happened? Daisy's back from the Hebrides.
Welcome back, Daisy.
Yeah, thank goodness. I got a postcard from her today. Did you, Judith, or am I just the favoured one?
I got mine days ago. I think she must have posted mine before yours. She just thought, oh, well, they better talk to each other, so I better, as an afterthought, send one to
Jenny. I think she posted mine on the ferry on the way back. Anyway, we're very glad to have you back, Daisy. Daisy would be allowed to speak. I think sometimes our listeners think that Daisy's either a figment of our imagination.
Imaginary friend,
yeah.
Our imaginary producer. Yes.
Our imaginary producer, because yes. God knows we need one. Or they think that we sort of make her swear to silence, that she's not allowed to interrupt, but that's not the case. Basically, because everything is on such a thin thread, the kind of technology that we're using, and it's so sensitive, if three people talk, it kind of goes bang.
No, we're pushing our luck. That would be pushing our luck
with the two of us. So anyway, what I wanted to discuss with you, Judith, one of the things that I noticed when I was looking at the pictures of Daisy on her holiday in Iona.
Yes, it looked
really
lovely.
Really lovely picture. Didn't it look lovely?
Mind you, the sun was shining, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's rare up there. It's a long way north.
It is pretty rare.
Yeah, but you know what it's like when it's nice up there, the midges come out. So, you know, swings and roundabouts. But there was a delightful picture of Daisy and her sister.
Yes.
Did you notice that?
Look, are they? I mean, they're gorgeous girls.
Gorgeous
women. The two of them.
Yeah.
Gorgeous women.
Do you know what crossed my mind? I thought to myself, would Judith have liked a sister, or did she relish her only child status?
That's a very good question, isn't it? Well, I mostly love being an only child. I've hated an older sister because I...
Spoiled.
Because I kind of had an older cousin and, you know, she was such a sort of know-it-all. She still is a know-it-all, actually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She always gets it right. She remembers everything. And she's the kind of older sister, in inverted commas, that kind of, you know, because I could be saying something and she'll say, well, hold on a minute. I thought you said, yeah, but how did that work? Because... You know, she remembers everything. Oh, she remembers everything, Jenny.
Yeah, and she picks you up on it and she catches you out.
She does.
That's a very older sister thing to do.
Yes. I think it probably is, isn't it?
My sister thinks I've just made everything up. I think we've got whole chunks of shared history that just differ completely.
And
I have a feeling that I'm the liar. Yeah, I have a feeling that I might be. So Christine was like an older sister. Did you play together?
Yes, but spitefully. She's really so it's all quite negative. I mean, now we're older. It's actually, she's great because she's the sort of person that can Google everything and do probate and all that stuff. But when we were little, she was vile to me. So what would happen is we'd go around to her house and she'd say, oh, Judith, do you fancy playing dressing up? I said, yes, please. Like a sort of puppy, you know, sort of bounding up the stairs.
And we get all the costumes.
Yeah. We get all the costumes out. We try it on and say, yeah, great, okay. And then she'd say, well, I don't really want to play that. Sure, she was horrible to me. Is that what older sisters are like? I'm assuming
they are. Yeah, it's kind of their job. It's their job to squash you down. My sister's trick was delayed gratification. Because I'm greedy. When I was little, I was greedy. I mean, I'm still greedy. But this was sort of, you know, when I was about, 7 or 8, you know, years before I became anorexic and went off sweet things forever and ever and ever. And I used to really like ice cream. And so we get ice cream cones. And
these square ones? Do you remember the square? They were funny.
I remember
little
square
oblong
ones, the cubes.
Sorry,
yeah, there's oblong cubes. Yeah,
yeah.
Say something like that, and I just shove the whole lot in my gob. You know, I just sort of kind of cram it in, and then it would be in the back of the car, and I'd just be covered in ice cream, and you know, and then I'd look at my sister, and she was just neatly licking like a kitten, tiny little licks. You know, she could make her Easter eggs last until August Bank Holiday Monday. It was just what she liked was for me to finish something that she still had. That was her best thing ever. She really, really did. She kind of really encouraged me to be
to gobble it.
And then she could just go, well, look at you. You haven't got that anymore, have you?
Yeah,
you haven't got the thing that I've still got.
Yeah. And I've got the moral high ground. Look at me as well, because I'm so controlled.
She's still very controlled and controlling. I've been spending a lot of time with my sister, Judith. I really have, because we've been up north together.
Oh, you've been up to see your mum.
Yes, we have. And we stayed for two nights. Which meant me and my sister were sharing a bedroom. And that was because of my natural greed and her natural parsimony and her delayed gratification and the fact that she's just naturally very tiny, tiny, small bone thing. Right, so we're in these twin beds in my mother's spare room and I'm like this massive warthog. and it was very hot. It was during the heat wave bit. And every time I turned over, because it's a single bed, and I haven't slept in a single bed, you know, since I left home, you know, a bit of my arse would fall out, or a great gammony calf would just plummet to the floor. And my sister was like this vole, a tiny little vole. You know those voles that sometimes they're so small they get stuck in milk bottles? She's that kind of, my sister could get stuck in a milk bottle. And she's really fit, Judith. I mean, this is why you don't want a sister, really, because the competitive thing.
And let me guess, was her side of the room tidier than yours by any chance?
Well, of course it was. Of course it was, because the thing is about my sister's knickers, when she folds them in half, they kind of disappear.
She folds her knickers.
Well, if she
folds
did, you know,
her knickers.
Well, they're the size of a postage stamp, Judith. Oh, I don't even know whether they were folded or not, but you can't, you know, mine are like a parachute that have fallen to the floor.
Wafting. They're good for wafting.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know,
Jenny.
It's like having, you know, and sometimes I'd glimpse her in the night and I think, oh, is that Phoebe in the bed? Because they're about that size. And you know, she's forever wearing trousers that she bought 40 years ago.
Oh, Jenny, this is sounding very challenging indeed.
These are just some poor Costello I found in a charity shop, because she's that funny mix of kind of really mean as well. So she buys in some charity shops, but they tend to have really good labels. Yeah. And then to make things even worse, right, she went jogging every morning. That was annoying. And I'll tell you something else that'll make you puke. So she goes running, right? So she ran round Fairhaven Lake, which is, you know, about a mile away already from my mum's house. And then she comes back and she's sitting down having a cup of tea. And I'm not really up, you know. At this point, I'm just sort of rolling around in my own, you know, dirt. And and she suddenly goes, whoop, 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 ooh, woo, woo, like that.
Yeah. What does that mean?
She's got a first, hasn't she? She's just done a history degree.
No.
From Birkbeck University. Yeah, it took her 2 years, part-time degree, right?
Oh, Jenny, that is.
She's got first.
Gosh, bloody hell. I mean, that is amazing.
She's 63. She's a very clever, thin woman.
You must have found some secrets out about her. I mean, there must have been times when you caught her smoking or, you know, she had a love bite on the side of her neck that she didn't want your mum to find out.
My sister's never, ever, ever had a love bite in her life. And I know that for a fact. Because she's been married twice. We don't talk about the first husband. But the second husband was a high court judge. And they don't give love bites, Judith. It's kind of one of the rules of being a high court judge. They just don't do that. They get... called Sir Michael. And Sir Michael did not give love bites. I can guarantee that. And anyway, listen, I know I'm talking about myself a lot, but I'm overexcited that I'm feeling a bit mental. And then I'm going to let you have your turn in a minute.
Don't be daft. How was your mum? Tell me about how your mum was.
Oh, well, my mum. My mum was great, but kind of, oh, God, she's a handful. She's honestly, my sister and I had this plan to get my mother a wheelchair. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And she was so angry with us, honestly, because we'd mentioned it at breakfast. And then, you know, she had to go to the mobility centre anyway. And she knew what we were plotting. And all the way to the mobility centre, you know, this sort of terrible tortoise-like crawl to the... And she was so angry with us at the thought of buying her a wheelchair. Anyway, we got her one. We got her a second-hand wheelchair that should have been £275. You should have seen my sister's eyes light up, honestly. Because she, you know, she... She loves a bit of second hand. And the trouble was, we were just going to buy her a really cheap one, which you can get for about 79 quid. But the trouble with the really cheap ones, and this is something people must listen to if they're thinking of buying a wheelchair for their mum, the cheap ones haven't got brakes.
Oh my God.
Now, all I'm going to say is my mum isn't a big woman, but you put a person in a wheelchair down a slight hill and it ain't got brakes, you honestly, you're really heading for trouble. So we were very fortunate that in the mobility centre at that on that particular morning, there was a second-hand wheelchair. We physically kind of... You know when you've got a toddler and they're not getting into their baby seat in the car?
They're doing that thing where they stretch out. What do you call that thing?
If my mother could have arched her back and stretched out, she really would have
Can't make me. Not getting in.
Anyway, we sort of tickled her into it. You know, it's like tickling her under... Here you go. And then the relief when she was actually in and she suddenly, you know... There was a moment where she just thought, all right, okay, I give up on this. And we paid the man and we went out for the biggest, longest walk she has done in a decade.
And
it was the most beautiful blue sky day. It was absolutely boiling hot. It was, I mean, she got a bit of sunstroke on the way back. We're not talking about that. But before that, it was in St. Anne's. We took her in the car, we folded the wheelchair up. We took her in the car and we got out on the promenade and we did the entire promenade in this wonderful sunshine. And we had lunch out in this beach cafe and we had the mixed scampi and, you know, cod loin bits all, you know, deep fried, terribly unhealthy, but it was absolutely delicious.
Fat.
And a little bit of salad and we were just by the sandhills and it was just such a great day out. I mean, she won't be able to use it unless one of us is up there, but it really did make for a really special
Aren't
day.
Aren't proms fantastic, really, when you think about it? I mean, a promenade, you can't beat it, can you? Really,
promenade
really
is
good
a brilliant
things.
Thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Judith, what is your news?
Well, it's very hot like everybody else. I mean, it seems like a sort of previous life now because it's been pissing with rain all day today. And the dog got very hot. Oh, my God, we got stuck in a bloody car wash.
Oh, I like the idea of this. Now, tell me more about you.
You like the idea?
Yes, I do. I do. I mean, yeah, because it's funny. It's funny. I'm sorry. Anything to do with the car wash is funny. Yeah. But are you talking about a proper car wash,
yes,
as in the
I
1970s
am,
rollers and the whole thing?
I'm talking exactly. Because you know that moment when the rollers, they come up the windscreen, don't they? And you think,
so exciting.
Shit.
So exciting,
shit,
though.
They might. What happened if they crushed me? And do you ever get yourself into a situation? I often get myself into the, I get ready. I undo my seatbelt in case I have to go horizontal while it's crushing the car. Do you not do that?
No, Judith, do you know what? I haven't been in one of those proper car washes for so long. I didn't think they even existed anymore.
Did you not? Of course,
I do. The idea of going in one of those proper ones, Judith, is terribly exciting to me. Because it was basically, you know, when I lived in the north with my mum and dad, that was like the highlight of the year.
Well, yeah.
That was like going to a show.
Thing. Yeah, it was a big day out.
Yeah.
Because I tell you why it was probably the beginning of automation, wasn't it? And also it was a bit American because it's the kind of thing that
so
we've seen
American.
On the films.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Song going to the car wash. I can't.
Yes,
thing.
That's right. Yeah. And it was a bit like 10-pin bowling. Like 10-pin bowling and car washes kind of landed about the same time, didn't they?
Yeah, pre-McDonald's. It was that kind of, God, we're getting really modern now because we've got car washes.
Well, they still exist and they're still, But yeah, they were always a bit scary. But I suppose as I've got older, I've got more, you know, scared
of
them.
Yeah, I just love the idea that you're almost wearing a life vest in case too much water comes in as well.
Yeah. So anyway, absolutely really, really hot day and, you know, the car was filthy. So Poppy was in the front in her little car seat. She doesn't like it.
Has she got a car seat?
Well, she's got this funny little thing. Like it's a bag, but she gets tethered to it and then you put the seatbelt around her. And
is that normal, Judith? Do normal people have
those
as
well? Well, I think it's for a dog. I don't think it's for a baby. Anyway.
Has it got a mobile on it? Does it have one of those mobiles that you can wind up and it plays
a
nursery rhyme?
She'd probably like that. Don't start giving me ideas that make me look even more dysfunctional. Anyway, so it starts coming up over the... windscreen, and I get the thought that I always get, which is, right, okay, I'll get ready. I might just get ready to untether her. You know, we die here together in this sweltering heat.
Yeah.
Bloody thing stopped. It just stopped, okay? And it stopped.
It's like being on a fairground ride and it stopped and gone.
Because now, effectively, I'm dangling up the top of that big wheel. I'm dangling, you know, swinging. I'm swinging.
My worst nightmare, Judith. It genuinely is.
It really is. I'm swinging up there and the bloke's gone off to see his girlfriend.
And it's creaking ominously and the weather's turned.
Yeah.
And it might actually thunder and lightning. Honestly, my bowels are about to open just at the thought.
Yeah, well, that was also happening to me at the same time. Anyways, right. It stopped. And it stopped kind of just before, you know, like you could open the front door. So it hadn't gone past the front door and it wasn't in the middle of the front door, but it was kind of just at the front door. Do you know what I mean? So I thought, shit, you know, what am I going to, you know, will they come? Bet they bloody don't come to help. Nobody behind me. Nobody else is having a car wash. So I thought,
no one else has had one since 1979.
No, they probably had, which is probably why the fucking thing had broken. So I thought, oh, shit, you know, what am I going to do? So I sort of prevaricated, tried Mike on the phone. Obviously no answer. What I thought he could do. I thought, I'm in a filling station in Abingdon. They haven't noticed me. Because I thought it might start. You know, that was my dread, is that I might get out and it might start.
Oh, yeah. What are you meant to do? You don't know whether to stay in or
exactly,
get out.
Exactly. So I did. So eventually I got out. I got the puppy. I don't think I've ever got out of the car so quickly. I got squeezed out and ran out.
That's a really dangerous manoeuvre.
Well, I know, but I just thought, I've waited for about 5 minutes. It probably wasn't that. It was like being stuck in the lift. It was. It did feel dangerous. Anyway, I race over to the... the kiosk, and there's a great bloody queue of people. To say that they weren't interested is an understatement. You know, really? I've been stuck in the car wash, kind of, you know, almost like, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
With my talented and gifted puppy.
Yes, quite. So this bloody bloke, honestly, he came out with me. I said, I'm not going in it again, because it might happen again. He said, well, you'll have to go in it again. You know, it'll be fine. So he sauntered over. I can't tell you how slowly he walked over.
Yeah.
You know, slower
than my mum.
Baby steps he was doing. Yeah. Baby steps, which really was saying, oh, for God's sake, what a fuss. Very unpleasant, very arsey. And in the end, he said, you know, well, you're going to have to go forward now because we can't get it out and it's blah, 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 blah. So it'll be fine. So I had to go back in. It was all right.
You're a very brave girl. You're a very brave girl, Judith. How did Poppy behave in this?
Poppy was fine, actually. She was fine, yeah.
But was she a comfort to you? Because the only point in having this dog, really, is if she's a comfort to you.
Well, or if I could train her, which I might, to, you know, get out of the car like a St. Bernard's, like a very smooth, and go to the kiosk and raise the alarm.
You've got to get to one of those things on her collars, like St. Bernard's do. You know, they have that little miniature barrel or something.
Oh, yes.
And that's got brandy in, has it? So you drink the brandy and then you write a little note and you put the note in the brandy.
Help.
I'm stuck in the car wash.
Yeah. Or just help. I could give it a go.
It's been a very difficult week for me this week. I mean, lots of things have pushed me to the edge. Realising when I was up north and comparing myself to my sister in an unfavourable light, which is really difficult when I was the one with anorexia and she wasn't. And then finding ourselves in midlife with this sort of switched over body thing. It's very odd. I think my mother sort of got a bit, she's kind of looking at us as if to say, well, no, surely Jenny was the thin one and Sarah was just normal. But now, oh gosh, Jenny's fat. In fact, I was talking to my mother and I said, I think I've developed a second stomach. Now, Judith, I haven't seen you with no clothes on for a long time now and I can't remember. I don't think you ever had the two tummy thing.
What do you mean by the two tummy thing?
Well, okay, the only other creature in the world that's got two stomachs is the lobster. There's the lobster and me and women like me. Okay, so what it is, your top tummy starts to bulge out underneath the bra, right?
Oh,
underneath the bosom.
Oh, yes.
And then it bulges down to the tummy button. right? Yep. Basically your middle, right? Where your waist would be once upon a time.
Yeah.
And then there's a sort of indentation there. And then the second tummy bulges from basically just underneath your knicker, your knicker line, down to the pudenda.
That's a good word.
Do you understand?
Bloody hell, that's a good Scrabble word, isn't it? Pudenda.
Yes. So the second stomach, and I'm wondering whether one stomach is for food and one's for alcohol. Because, right, I mentioned this double stomach thing on Twitter, and a Twitter follower got back to me and said, apparently the upper gut is also known as the liver roll.
Oh, no.
The liver roll. Yes.
Dry white wine.
Yes, it's the dry white wine roll.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I'm just sort of, you know, trying to assess the situation around my midriff.
Yeah. No, I don't think you've got the two.
No, I've got the two. I have got
Are you a doubler too?
I'm a doubler. I'm a double handful girl. Yeah, I am.
But is it quite obvious when you stand up and look at yourself sideways?
Maybe not so much.
No, you see, I don't think you have. I think you're more solid and straight and not so bulgy.
Well,
because you do more exercise and you don't drink.
Gosh, yeah. God, bloody hell, this is boring. You might have to cut down on the white wine.
I know. And my mother poked at it with a stick, right?
Did she?
Yeah. What she did when she had a stick and she pointed to my top tummy. She pointed to my top tummy with her stick. And she said, I'd get rid of this one first.
Did she?
Yeah, she did.
Gosh.
Bitch.
Well, you're going to have to do as you told, Jenny. That's quite scary, isn't it? But do you ever say anything like that to Phoebe? Because if I were to say something like that to the girls, it would be so, you know, it'd be like atomic. There would be an explosion of fury. It's like, you know, that.
It wouldn't be about weight, but if I said something like, all your roots need doing, or something about, you know, grooming or whatever, or oh, that's a big spot on your chin. Can you imagine saying that out loud?
God.
I mean, yeah. No, because they're so woke, aren't they? And you're not allowed to say anything about weight or sort of looks or anything like that.
Yeah.
No, there would be. I'd be sent to on the naughty step. I'd have to sit on the naughty step for about 3 days.
There'd be threats. There'd be threats that about her going away for Christmas. I think. But isn't that interesting? Because I think if I were to vocalise something that the girls are worried about, it's like you've lit this massive fire.
You've lit the touch paper. Yeah.
How dare you? Yes. And somehow, I think as mothers, you kind of know what that is. And it's not that you're doing it spitefully, but it's like nobody else somehow. I think I can get to them. And, oh, God, do they come down hard on me? Bloody hell if I say anything like that. But your mum feels like that's good, though, in a way, isn't it? That maybe she goes through, maybe she's gone through that phase and now through that.
I think that generation of women, actually, to be quite serious here, is that, and we're having to learn fast because our daughter's generation is so woke and so sort of non-judgmental. They really hate judgment.
Yes.
And then it's just seen as terribly old-fashioned and really not the dumb thing.
True.
And everybody is great. And you're not allowed to call anybody fat, and you're not allowed to call anybody this. And you know, we've got to tread on eggshells around lots and lots of issues in case we say, you know, slightly the wrong thing because 3 days ago they changed the rules. That's the thing, Judith. Yeah.
And we still dob ourselves in it.
Yes, but they changed the rules every 3 days, and then there's a new word for something.
Yes.
You've got to learn that
word
very quickly.
You can't use it that way. Yeah, it's true, actually. That is very true. No, it's
yeah, but my mother's generation, and I think that we were quite badly affected by it, they are still the types that do sit in front of the television and say, oh, she's looking bad today. Oh, doesn't she look tired today? Oh, I don't like that shirt. It's quite negative. It's quite negative, particularly, I think, on women.
Well, I think, yeah, more than quite negative. I mean, my mother was vicious about people. And,
well,
you know.
You can say that because your mum's dead. You see, I can't say
true.
That. But she can be very critical.
I was nosy, but I don't think I was that judgmental.
I can watch the news without criticising the female newscaster's blouse. Which I'm not sure my mother actually can.
Are you sure?
Well, sometimes.
Not always.
And I always think, you know, when I'm watching Fiona Bruce, I think you've got such a great figure, but you do wear funny clothes.
Do you think they're funny clothes? Why are they funny clothes?
Sometimes on the Antiques Roadshow, I just think, well, that's a funny thing to wear.
Oh, yes, I know what you mean.
I was wearing something the other day. It was green trousers and a pale green top. And I thought, oh, I wouldn't wear that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. She'd pick out something lemon, wouldn't she? Or spearmint green. Yes.
It was a bit spearmint. And I just thought, you could wear anything in the world.
Yeah, she's a mixy looking girl, isn't she? Really? Well, God,
I'd be more minxy. God, if I had that figure,
yeah,
I don't think I could trust myself not to wear hot pants on the Antiques Roadshow, actually, because I'd be so proud of myself. I think, hold on,
maybe this
I'm knocking on 60 and I'm a size 10. There is no reason why I can't wear gold leather hot pants.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Yeah. Well, you've gone to the next best thing because you bought a pair of linen, what do you call them, dungarees, on Twitter, on the Twitty thing.
Judith, I tell you what, I've not been out in them yet because I haven't been anywhere exciting enough. I went to my brother's birthday party. I mean, it was just family in the garden because, you know, we've still got rules, haven't we?
Yeah.
But it was very nice. It was very nice. And my sister... in law showed me these dungarees she'd bought from the White Company. So anyway, I came straight home, ordered them.
Of course you did. I'm surprised you didn't break off during the party to do so. Yeah.
And I was really anxious when I got them out because I'm very lazy about sending things back.
I can't have
another disaster, disaster, from not trying something on. And tried them on, Judith, and they're a triumph. Yes, they are. And I put that photo up on Twitter because several days before I said, I've ordered myself some dungarees and I'll do a fashion show for Twitter and, you know, you can give me a thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah.
And you know what? When I put that photo up, I've put up a lot of things on Twitter over the years, some quite controversial, some quite funny, some... breaking news, whatever. I have never had so much Twitter traction as the dungaree tweet. Within 2 hours, there were eight and a half thousand likes.
Never.
I shit you not.
Bloody
hell. If you really want to claim some social media attention, all you need is to be a middle-aged woman and buy yourself a pair of dungarees and say, what do you think? I've got another top as well, because... Judith, can I tell you the best thing about getting this wheelchair for my mum, right? We could take her shopping. She hasn't been upstairs in any shops for a long time, you know, because she just has been, she can't really browse anymore because her legs just can't really take it. So anyway, there's this shop near my mum's place called Stringers, and I took her up in the lift to the first floor and we could properly look around the ladies' fashions. And you can't try anything on. You know what it's like nowadays.
I do,
you can't really touch anything, but you can look. And she really, really enjoyed that. She really enjoyed looking at clothes.
Yeah.
And Lytham, where she lives, is quite dressy. I don't know whether I've ever sort of tried to describe it before, because it's on the northwest coast, but the people who live in Lytham and sort of very close to Lytham, a lot of them have got a lot of money. And what tends to happen is there's this kind of core of very dressy, often quite elderly women.
Yes. Oh,
and they congregate.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
In oh, I do. There was definitely a breed of these in the northeast, next to living in Darris Hall near Newcastle. I could absolutely, lots of very good jewellery, very good beautician work.
Yeah, yes. Very smart handbags. And yes, women in their 70s still wearing a wedge heel.
Yes, yes. You know, nice legs, sheer tights.
Really dressed up. Yep. Lots of white trousers. And what I call cruise wear, Judith. Because nobody's going on the cruise anymore because you can't, because they're basically floating petri dishes of COVID.
God.
All the women of Lytham who would normally now be wearing all their floaty caftans and slightly wafty tunics,
yeah,
and very brightly coloured, printed this and that. They're all doing it on the streets of Lytham. I'm really easily influenced by what's in immediately around me. So I'm suddenly thinking, cruise wear. I wonder if I could get. And my mum had forgotten to buy me, stroke lockdown, hadn't bought me a 60th birthday present. So she bought me together. We bought this. I've got a floaty tunic. It's sort of orange swirls.
Oh.
Yeah.
What do you mean by a floaty tunic?
Well, imagine the sort of thing you'd wear on deck over a swimming costume with maybe, a really good necklace with possibly some silver and turquoise or whatever. Yeah. Totally not me really at all.
It's not you. I now feel I'm in one of those games, where you had the cutout doll,
yeah,
and you had all the clothes to put on her with little things that you'd tuck them around. And I've got you, but this thing just isn't fitting on at all. No.
No, I've gone a bit Riviera.
I can see you wafting around that. I think, a little bit of kind of wafting around the house. I think you might be doing a bit of that in it.
Yeah,
I think lunch?
Because remember, you're coming for lunch this weekend.
Quite excited. Haven't seen you for absolutely ages.
So I'm going to wear. I might wear it, Judith. In fact, I might. Listen, I'm so excited about you coming for lunch. I might do a costume change.
I tell you what. Suddenly, I've got a picture of that swirl thing. It's like Abigail's party. Do you remember the character?
It's a bit like that, but it's only hip length. It's not all the way down.
Oh,
but
I'm disappointed now.
Yeah, but what I'll do for you, right, is when I greet you, I'll do my dungarees.
Right.
And then after lunch, I might get changed into my lounging.
That's the sartorial equivalent of snorlaw, isn't it? It's like your guests have stayed so long that there's been a costume change.
Yeah, that my clothes were starting to smell, and I thought I'd better get changed.
Put my dressing gown on.
Talking about you coming for lunch, which we'll tell the listeners about next week. We might fall out. Who knows?
It might not be a podcast next week. Yeah, go on, what?
Are you bringing the puppy?
Well, no, because we're cat-sitting for Ellen and she's puppy-sitting for us, so no, unfortunately not. But actually, I would really like you to see her.
I don't want you to come for lunch anymore, Judith. There's no point. I just wanted to meet the puppy. I've met you. I know, Mike. It's fine. I like you both, But the puppy was going to be... I've not been having much excitement in my life recently. Yeah. The puppy was going to be this week's big thing.
Sorry. She's quite full on, though, I tell you. She really is.
What's she been up to?
Well, she's been quite naughty. And the breeder said she was the quietest one of the litter, but she was quite willful. And I didn't really see what she meant. Mind you, she's getting bigger, she's getting... I mean, she really is visibly getting bigger because she suddenly found her appetite. She still doesn't like that sodding dog meal I had to buy.
Of course she doesn't.
She
likes sausages.
She likes chicken livers. She likes mince. She likes chicken. And, I tell you what I've had this week, Ginny. We had a couple of pork chops and... They've really been out of my thoughts. They were so good.
Imagine, Judith.
Really?
No, because a pork chop to me is a sort of very much the fourth thing on the menu. If I've got a menu in front of me and chops are on it, I'll dismiss them first.
Well, I would have done ordinarily. Yeah. And, a sort of watery pork chop is a horrible thing. These two, well, I mean, I think they might have been aged or something. This brilliant new butcher that I found on one of my bike rides.
So they were fine. They were from a fine butcher.
Oh, they were, yes. And really thick. I mean, kind of the thickness of, you know, a stack heel or, a, you know, like about an inch and a half thick and sort of a bit yellowy. But wow, they were, honestly, I mean, even now my mouth's watering. I can't wait till I have another pork chop.
How did you cook them?
I just put them in the oven with a bit of sage. They were delicious.
Did you have to olive oil them up or did they just roast in their own juices?
Yes, but they were really, you know, succulent. And
did they have a crispy rind once you got them out of the oven? Crispy rind,
and I gave, okay, I probably shouldn't have done this and people will probably be shocked, but I get the first time I've ever given Poppy some, you know, a sort of leftover. I gave her the, you know, the rind. Oh my God. She was in heaven. Absolutely in heaven. Yeah, she was.
But it came through though. But it came through the next morning, I tell you. That would have been on the lawn the next morning.
Certainly.
So, well, I can't say that I've had a particularly memorable meal in the past week. And I've had to cut back on my weekly veg box because I've just been getting, I've got a glut of veg box stuff. Oh, I mean, I know you say you've got it from your own garden, but I get this delivery. And I don't know whether you get this, Judith, but do you get guilt from not eating all your veg?
Oh, totally, totally. Forever finding my way around it. Yeah, absolutely. Can't bear it. Yeah.
No. I've got downstairs at the moment, I've got two aubergines and two butternut squash. And every time
that
I go in the kitchen, I see these fucking things.
I
think, well, my colon can't deal with that much vegetable. It just can't. You know, so I've taken to distributing little veg boxes around the neighbourhood.
Oh, have you? To friends?
Well, just mostly people I know with families, which I don't know them very well, but there's a family a few doors down. They've got loads of kids. I'll tell you another thing I've been doing around the neighbourhood, Judith. I've been distributing leaflets. Have you ever been leafleting?
Of course I have been leafleting. I live in a village. Oh, yes, and parish magazines to deliver, all sorts of things. I so have. Absolutely.
And then you'll understand. You'll understand what I'm going to say next. What I'd like our listeners to do now, I want you to go now. We'll pause for a second. Go and check your letterbox. Okay, I'll count to 10. I want you to go and check your fucking letterbox. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, I want you back. Have you got a bastard box? Now, Judith, do you know what I mean by a bastard box?
I so do. And you know, we have got an absolute bastard box because ours is not on the front door. It's to the right. And because we've got so much wisteria, you kind of wouldn't notice it unless it's there.
Pig of a box.
Yeah, pig of a box. Absolutely. No, I tell you, I think the worst ones are the ones that are right down at sort of floor level.
I don't mind those because I have to say that because I've been distributing leaflets for Jeff's pop-up gallery.
You are good.
This Saturday. Well, listen, I'm trying to get rid of the liver roll, aren't I? So I did 8,000 steps in one go yesterday.
Fantastic.
That's not like me, Judith. Anyway, I've been distributing round the neighbourhood and I don't mind the ones right at the bottom on the front step, you know, very low down. Those don't bother me. I'm good at bending down. That's fine. The very worst ones, though, are the ones that you try and get the flyer in, right? And they're on quite a stiff card. This is no flimsy flyer. I'm not having flimsy flyers. It's on quite stiff, shiny card. And they're long and narrow. They're very nicely designed. Anyway, you start poking it, feeding it through, and it meets resistance. Because some people have these letterboxes, and they've got sort of like roller wire. Do you know what I mean? Bristles,
I do.
Like a brush.
Bristles. Oh, yes. Oh, bristles. God. So it starts buckling.
So your flyer buckles. Oh. And you think at this point, so you think I'm going to give up with my junk mail, do you? You think I'm going to retreat? You think I'm not going to put this flyer through your awkward bleeding letterbox? You think I'm going to be beaten? You must be fucking joking. I mean, literally, some letterboxes, I'm about 3 minutes feeding. There's absolute determination. So that's our roundup of the week, ladies and gentlemen. And we are now moving into I've started the culture thing with Jeff's gallery, but we're moving on to telly and books. Judith, what have you been watching?
Well, I tell you what we've been watching. We've been watching The A Word, which is that series. I think it's a bit like Cold Feet. There are quite a few sort of back catalogue series, but the new one has been out at the moment about a little autistic boy lives up north.
Is it set sort of in the sort of northern countryside, like the Pennine district
yes,
or something?
Yes, it is. Yeah, or yes, the Northern Dales or the Pennines. But it's really funny and, oh my God, the little boy that plays.
He's incredible.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, Christopher Eccleston plays this really funny sort of granddad. And, yeah, it's great, actually. So we're sort of enjoying that. And still on Mad Men, but Mad Men has got into that sort of... Yeah, it's
has gone it off
a bit.
Judith?
Yeah,
has it gone off,
as my mother would say. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and also I finished the Miriam Margolyes, and I was a bit off on Miriam Margolyes last time talking about
her. You were critical. You turned into your mother
for a bit.
I was a bit
critical, and I do take it back. Having watched the three of them, she's intuitive, she's clever, she goes under that radar because she looks so, you know, un-Fiona Bruce-like.
Yeah.
And, it was really good, actually. It was a very warm series about Australia, and I thought she was great.
Right, yeah. Well, I Judith, I did the stupidest thing. Because, you know, the television is watching you as much as we watch it. So when you go on the YouTube, it'll suddenly pull up all the things you might be interested in, even though you haven't typed anything up. So there was all these kind of soprano extra bits on YouTube, and I accidentally clicked on one, and I accidentally saw the very last shot of the very last episode.
I know,
right? So I have to pretend I haven't seen that.
Yes, you're going to have to press the delete button. You haven't seen it.
I know, but I have, and I can't quite get it out of my head. And obviously, it sort of doesn't make any sense whatsoever at the moment. So we've still got a few episodes to go on that, but not many. And I have total dread of finishing the best thing I have ever seen.
Wow, that's quite a statement. That
isn't
is quite
it?
Something. Yeah,
and
I can
say that so wholeheartedly. And I quite a lot of time I say things and then there's a little bit of me that goes, Jenny, did you actually mean that? Because I'm not sure you actually think that. And you go, I don't know. I think you could change your mind on that, but not this, Judith. The Sopranos is the best thing I have ever seen. Did you finish reading your book The Weeknd?
I did. I finished that. It was a bit underwhelming, really, in the end. It sort of had so much promise and the characters were very interesting. And, you know, because they're older women, lot older women, sort of in their 70s, maybe the cruise lot. It didn't really go very anywhere much.
Because I'm reading it at the moment and I'm thinking, OK, when's the story going to start? When is something going to happen?
I think it's very strong
on character.
Yes, it is. It is.
So yeah. I haven't finished it, so I'm not judging it yet. I think it's okay and I'm enjoying it and I'm glad I'm reading it, but I'm not sure that it merits the huge fuss that it got on publication. But
and it did. It did, didn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, just you can disagree with us. You can let us know, ladies and gentlemen, that what you're reading and what you recommend, because we're always interested. Did you finish Grown Ups as well?
I did. I finished that. Yes. Yeah. I loved it. And I read it on Audible like you did.
Yeah.
And it was just the terminology, the way she talks about her children as bunnies, the bunnies, and some of those relationships. A lot of very good sex scenes, very tender sex scenes. And
yeah,
very
you've got
sexy.
Sex on the brain. Judith, all you've really talked about today, apart from
poo
the dog,
sex.
Is
sex
and pork chops.
Maybe that's no accident.
Book-wise, just a quick roundup of... I'd just like to say thank you to anyone who's bought Older and Wider over the last couple of weeks. It had another little foray into the Times charts a couple of Sundays ago, so I'm really grateful for that. And my publishers very much want me to plug the paperback version of Inheritance, which comes out on September the 3rd. Emails from our listeners. What have you got from the email
bag?
Well,
we've got a few, but you know there's shoddy work there that several people haven't put their ages on, and we do like to know exactly how old people are, do we not?
We should have sent these emails back saying you haven't finished your homework.
That's right. How old exactly are you?
Yeah.
So, for instance, Kath and Janie said that they thought that we were the ideal dinner guests. Very nice, although we don't know how old they are, because we like people who leave early and we bring our own quiche. Well, that's very true, isn't it?
You know, when the time comes, you can invite us. I responded to that email. I said, you can't trust me not to drink too much and start repeating my stories. So then we might not get the invitation.
We also had an email from Victoria Lou, 50. And she said, because we did our Q&A last week, which she enjoyed, and she said that if she was on a desert island, she would take her mother's antiquated but brilliant hairdressing scissors to trim her fringe, and she'd take a vat of tequila and a solar-powered sound system. Ooh. And I think that we might need to be on a different desert island.
You're worried about that solar-powered sound system, aren't you?
Very much so. Yeah, and the vat of tequila. I think she's going to be bad news.
I think I might want to share her island. Then you can swim over and visit now and again to get your fringe trimmed.
My fringe trimmed, yeah. And basically, I'm on yours.
Could just be sort of off our faces with the solar-powered sound system. Only I wouldn't let her play music. It would just have to be plays and books.
So she wouldn't let you do that. Not with all that tequila in her. No chance.
It'd be called the Dream Fighting on. Island. Right, and our last email is Sue 59 and three quarters. Now that's the kind of detail we're after. Well done, Sue. She says she wants us to do a theatre gig together as soon as possible, because when she hears the intro music, she can imagine it booming out and clapping along.
And we need to take her number. We need to get her booked if we do a gig, because we want her in the front row, I'd say.
She might be the only member of the audience, Judith. But
yes,
I think we rely on Sue, who's 59 three quarters, to clap along, because that's what we're going to do quite now, because we're going to love you and leave you, and we're all going to... You can join in at home. Let's all clap along to the theme tune. OK, let's imagine we're in a great big theatre and Judith and I are going to do some funny little show together that we haven't written yet and might never, but, you know, we're going to come on. We might do a song and a dance. We might do all sorts of things. Right, okay, the lights are dimming. Oh, the music's coming. Here it comes. Come on, everyone, let's go.
Hey!
Clap along!
Oh, wouldn't that be lovely? Bye, Jenny. Nice.
Bye, Judith. Yeah, bye, Daisy.
Bye, gang.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.